Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is I'm not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode zero, where I explain that joke, as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where I talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Well, friends, thanks so much for coming back. It's great to see you. And you can see I'm gathered with friends again. Last week on this episode, I was joined by all my friends in the CACS community. It's a faith-based group of creatives. We've got writers, illustrators, copywriters, just a wonderful group here. And we gather each week on Thursdays at 11 Eastern for encouragement. We usually have a talk. We have a little bit of back and forth. We laugh a good bit. And then we also have an online group, a private Facebook group. And the interaction and the curiosity I got from that went so well last week, I thought I'd do another episode, share with you a little bit about what we talk about and stretch me a little bit. So that's what we're going to do. But before we get started, I thought, you know what? No one ever listens to episode zero. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell everybody why it's J. Gordon Duncan and I'm not a bagpipe player, because some of you have never asked. Some of you have. So here is the answer. The world's foremost bagpipe player in the entire world's name is Gordon Duncan. And so he's no longer with us. But if you go to Amazon, you type in Gordon Duncan, you don't find me first. You find his albums and other things. So when I first got started and I wanted to buy GordonDuncan.com and things like that, I couldn't get it because his estate owns all that. So I own JGordonDuncan.com and the blog was that. So JGordonDuncan.com is what I had to be online. So when I say the podcast of J. Gordon Duncan, why the J? I'm not a bagpipe player. That's the answer. I am not the world's foremost bagpipe player by any stretch of the imagination. So there's the answer to the question, why the J? And so my first name is John, which always confuses people. But when I get a phone call and someone says, can I speak to John? I know they're not my friend. I know they want money from me. So it clears out all the people who are spamming me really, really easily. And I'm like, how do you know that my name is John? So having said that and dismissed it, about every year at some point in time, I explain why the J. So, okay, gang, what I'd love to do with our group and with everybody watching and listening, again, thank you everybody who's watching, listening, and liking and subscribing. I want to talk about that very elusive concept of creativity. And what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to encourage you in a way that you can kickstart and maintain creativity. I know that this is a very divisive topic among creatives, because I've got friends and maybe even just in this group, I'm not quite sure, who live off of inspiration when it comes to creativity. And they're like, I'm only creative when I'm inspired. And I understand that. That might be your approach. Like, I'm waiting for that moment where it hits me and I'm going to write or I'm going to draw. And you can do that. And when I was an English teacher, and I would have my students write papers or write a poem or whatever the case may be, I would always tell them, and I don't know if I made up this expression or I heard it somewhere, but I said, you are going to starve if you live on the street corner of creativity and inspiration. Like, if your goal is to only put out something in the world when you're inspired, it's going to be hard to put out something consistently. Or your moments of inspiration have got to be intense. And I understand that everybody has their own approach. My approach is more disciplined, and I'm going to share a few things that I think will help you put some discipline on your creativity without ruining that beautiful thing called inspiration. But for me, so I write books a little bit less now than I used to, but I'm writing constantly. I'm writing social media copy for myself, or for my clients, or I'm writing to prepare for an upcoming seminar or something like that. So I have to be creative constantly because that's the nature of my business. So if I waited to just be inspired, I think I would go out of business. But that's because I sell creativity. That's what I do for a living. Now, not everybody has their different thing. Like your writing of a book might be a side hobby or a passion. But for some of you, like, this is what you do. You are creative. And then what do? When we don't have it in us. Now, the most prolific writers out there, write every single day. Like they just, it does not matter. And those writers who will testify to that would be writers like John Maxwell, Stephen King, John Grisham, and James Patterson. Those four authors tell you, no matter what, they're going to write every day. In fact, Stephen King swears by that he writes 7 to 8 hours a day, no matter what. And so if he doesn't have that avenue of creativity on the novel he's working on, then he just goes and works on a short story. Or he starts the next novel. But he doesn't let himself fall away from that 8 hours a day because he says it's my job. And he's been amazingly prolific. In fact, last week he just put out a brand new novel. And I'm listening to it right now and I'm enjoying it. It's part four in a series. Now, has he put out clunkers? Oh my goodness, he's put out some clunkers. I think I've read or listened to every novel he's done, and some of them are just a mess, but he's also put out some novels that have made a huge impact. John Maxwell, same way with leadership materials. You can't keep up with James Patterson. He's either writing or he's creating concepts where ghostwriters are writing for him because he's got two different divisions. And John Grisham puts out three novels every 2 years. And so that may not be what you guys want to do, whether it be a book, illustrations, or even social media content. Some of us may not want to be that prolific. But if we wanted to kickstart our creativity and we wanted to maintain it, I do think there's a couple of steps that we can take. And if you're in a dry spot right now, if you're in a rut, and we've all been there where we think, I've got nothing, what I'm hoping is that these three steps are going to help you no matter what your creative outlet is. So let's just hop in. I'm going to give you the three steps to begin with, and then we're going to go dig into them. Okay. So here are the three steps that I use to maintain my creativity, and there are three steps that I think will help you to maintain yours. Okay. First of all, I want you to believe that what you're creating is worthwhile and will make an impact. I want you to believe that what you're creating is worthwhile and will make an impact. That's one. I don't want to separate those two. I want them to have the same thing. What you're creating is worthwhile and will make an impact. Number one. Number two, I want you to write with a target audience in mind. I want you to have a target audience in mind. We're going to go into details about what that means. But I want you to have an idea of who is actually going to be reading, watching, or consuming that thing you create. And then three, I want you to practice being relentless. Practice being relentless. I'm taking a little note for myself here, guys. Practice being relentless. Now, let's jump into the first one. Believing what you're doing is worthwhile and will make an impact. If you listened to last week's episode or you joined us in the community, we talked about doing what we're doing because we have a calling to it. Doing what we're doing because we feel like it's what we're uniquely gifted and set apart to do. Now, if you want to marry those two, if you want to wed those two, if you believe that you are uniquely gifted to do something, then it's easier to believe that what you're creating is worthwhile and will make an impact. It's difficult for any of us to have creativity if we approach it thinking, well, this is going to be garbage and it's not going to make any impact in the world. It's really difficult to be creative when we think that way. If we think, well, I've made this analogy many times and I will not bore you with running, but if I step to the starting line and I think this is going to go terrible, it's going to be a difficult race. It really is. And for any of us who've had children, if they were walking out the door and they're like, today's going to be terrible, we said, don't say that. That's what we would tell them. We're like, no, don't say. But then when we become adults, we forget that. And then we adopt the idea that it's just going to be terrible. And so when you sit down to write or you sit down to draw or you sit down to be creative, we have to remind ourselves, you know, what I'm doing is worthwhile and it's going to make an impact. Now, how do we believe that? How do we maintain that thought that what we're doing is worthwhile and will make an impact? I'm going to give you one of the tips that I personally use. If you like it, use it. If you don't, delete this thought. But when I need to be reminded that what I'm doing is worthwhile, make an impact, I write that down. I write it down as an affirmation. Before I begin my workday, I literally write down in my journal, I am alert, I am creative, and what I'm doing today, my audience and my clients will enjoy. I write that every single day before I begin my workday. It might change up a little bit in the order, but I write it down. I'm alert and I'm creative, and what I'm doing, my audience and my clients will enjoy. Sometimes I'll go so far as to say, my clients enjoy what I do so much, they refer me to others. You might say, well, that's crazy, but it's not that different. For any of us here, I know for this group, you know, when you read Mark 11:27, it says you need to pray like it's already been given to you. And when you do, you'll receive it. So that's basically what I'm doing. When I am creating something, I start that day, I'm alert, I'm creative. What I'm doing, my audience and my clients are going to enjoy it. And I've done it enough that when I get that piece of paper into my day, I'm already primed to approach my day that way. So when I've done my journaling and I get my computer out, because I make 99% of everything I do on a computer or on a phone, then my brain is set for, you know, this is good stuff. And some days it's better than others. But I, you know, at this point in time, I don't judge which day is good and which day is bad, because I've got to create every day. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there, you've got to have a practice, or excuse me, I will encourage you, no matter what you do, to have a practice where you affirm to yourself that what you're doing is worthwhile and will make an impact. Because everybody in this room and everybody who's listening knows that sometimes you go days, weeks, and months wondering, am I making an impact? Am I making an impact? And sometimes you get feedback that you are, and sometimes you just have to have faith that you are. But if you want to be creative, if you start every day with affirming to yourself, writing it or telling yourself, so I'm alert and creative, and what I'm doing is going to make an impact, it frees you up to believe that while you're creating. Because the mindset and approach, how many of you have ever started trying to write and you're in a terrible mood and you just stop because you just can't keep, and you're like, well, I'm just this, what I'm, yeah, 100%. Why? Because we're in a mindset of just a funk. And we're like, this is affecting what I write. Well, then the opposite is true as well. That when we approach it, that I'm alert and I'm creative and I'm making an impact, that flows into whatever it is that we're creating, no matter, even if it's just a 140 character tweet, or an X these days. We'll talk about that another time. But guys, make a discipline of reminding yourself that what you're doing is worthwhile and will make an impact. And if you are in that creative slump, this is one of the ways to get yourself out of it. Is to create a discipline of telling yourself. And if you got to do it multiple times a day, or if you got to write sentences like you're being punished in 1975 by your teacher because you cussed in class, I will not say bad words, then do it. Get a piece of paper over and say it over and over and over again. But you got to remind yourself what you're doing is worthwhile and will make an impact. And it will help you be creative because you put your mind in a creative mode. So that's number one. Number two, have a target audience in mind. When we first become creative, what drives us is the idea. What drives us is the idea. I once wrote a little short story. I don't think I've told anybody this. I'm not a fiction writer. I wrote a little short story. And the character's name was Doug H. Nuts. That's donuts, by the way. Doug H. Nuts. And it was about a little donut. I lie to you not. And maybe I'll do something with that. If someone, you guys are all laughing. You can see now why I don't write fiction anymore. But I only wrote it because I thought, oh, that'll be fun, right? And I think, I'm not even going to tell you the story. It's a different conversation for a different day. So the idea is what prompted it, right? And that's probably where many of us got started. But that won't maintain us. It won't. Now, I know. Now, I think I'm writing, like business-wise, I'm writing because I want a realtor who is struggling to get that sale in different difficult market, I want them to believe that I've got a marketing program that's going to help them. How do I write to them and let them realize that I can help them? So that way, when I produce content, I'm thinking of them. Now, some folks do not like this approach. Some folks are like, let me be creative and spill out. And that's fine. But when you do that, you're trusting the creativity wind. But when you have a target audience and you're like, okay, I write historical fiction novels for 45-year-old moms who's only get an hour a day to sneak away and do something for fun, and they like novels about the Irish countryside, and they just need a break for an hour. Well, then all of a sudden, your creativity has a direction. And by the way, I just made that up. I don't know anybody who writes that, but I might have just written, what is that? Highlander, excuse me. I think that's what I just did. That's historical sci-fi fiction, different conversation, different day. When you know your target audience's needs, you're not sacrificing the content or compromising the content. You are directing your content to the ears of someone. Now, let the creative process be the creative process. If it needs to go left, go left. It needs to go right, go right. But begin thinking about, who is it that might consume this? And have them in mind when you create. This is a fine line. You might go, no, I just want to let it be creative and let it fall where it falls. That's fine. But then it's hard to maintain that. I'm just waiting. But when you have an audience in mind, then your creativity has a conduit. Then your creativity has a face. Some folks even have literally a character, an avatar that they have in mind, that when they write and create, that person is who they are writing to. Now, if you write theology, a lot of you've got your congregation. If you write sci-fi, you know you're writing to a sci-fi audience. If you're writing to business, you should have a specific audience. But think through it if you've never done it, because an avatar in mind and their emotional needs in mind, and you meeting their emotional needs in mind, will one, help your sales, but two, will give you a conduit when you are struggling to be creative, because you have someone you're speaking to, you're addressing them. So I'll use illustrations in mind. If you're an illustrator for a certain type of novel, those covers fall in certain fashions. They really do. If anyone's ever read the Wheel of Time series, or if anyone's ever read, any of the Ender's Game stuff, you know, those covers fall into a certain shape. And they're very attractive to the eye, to that audience. And so sometimes they deviate, sometimes they don't. But when that person was creating, they had that the consumer in mind and then created in that realm. So think about it if you've ever been stumped. Just ask yourself, who might read this? And think about it as a conversation or an interaction with them, and guide your creativity in that way. Not asking you to give up on the moments of inspiration, but it'll maintain and kickstart your creativity when you know you're speaking to someone through whatever it is you create. So one, we've got to believe that it's worthwhile and that's going to make an impact. Two, speak to a target audience. And three, practice being relentless in your effort. So I'm not saying be relentless. I'm saying practice being relentless. This goes back to the point I made at the very beginning. The people who create, create every day. And if it's a day off, it's a specific day off. But otherwise, when they set aside time to create, they create. Good, bad, or indifferent, they create. And then they go back and edit. And then they go back and then figure out what they can do with it. So let's say to our listeners who are in the business realm and they're creating online social media content, and you're like, I have no idea what to say. Then just practice and create and create and create and create, and then choose from that. If you're an author, just write whatever comes out and goes back and edit. If you're struggling as an illustrator, illustrate, 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 and then come back and edit it later. If you're a course creator, just create, create, create. And guys, what we'll learn is the disciplines when it's difficult will provide for it to be easier when it's easy. If we learn how to push through when it's difficult, we'll find that the conduit is open in a much bigger way when it's flowing. That discipline creates a larger conduit. If someone says to you, I don't know how you write that much. Like in our group, anybody who's listening may not be able to see our group, but we have Nancy in our group. Nancy's constantly putting out books. So Nancy, I'm going to give you praise on that. And so, and guys, it doesn't mean that those of us who are slower are not, but I do know that when we say what I do is I write, what I do is I create, what I do is produce. If we stay on it, then we're able to produce works more often. And then we just got to become better editors. Then we just have to be better at editing. And then when we're editing, we say, what I do is edit, and I edit, and I edit. And you know what? You might have something that you can save and come back to in a later capacity. But whether you're producing for social media, producing for your marketing, producing for writing, producing for illustrating, producing for video content, if we make a point to practice being relentless, we'll have some really good stuff to choose from. Well, friends, that's my encouragement. Let me recap those three that if you need to kickstart or maintain creativity, I'm going to offer these 3 points. One of them is I want you to believe what you're doing is worthwhile, will make an impact. And believe it. And if you need to write it down, write it down. Or if you need to have a spoken word you say to yourself, say it to it. But believe what you're doing is worthwhile. Believe it's going to make an impact. Secondly, I want you to write with a target audience in mind. Like, be specific. Know who you're writing to. Be as specific as you can. And then three, I want you to practice being relentless in your effort. Just produce and create. You can always go back and edit and change it when necessary. And I hope what this does is for some folks who are stuck right now, I hope it enables you to push forward. And for anybody who is already in a creative mode, I hope it just 10Xs what you're already doing. Well, thanks, folks, for everybody for watching and listening. Again, thank you to the CACS community. Everybody watching, give a wave. If you're watching on YouTube, this is our great community. If you'd like to join us, I just want you to reach out to me anywhere. You can find me everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Threads, Twitter. Just find me and say, I want to know about the CACS community. But as always, I'm thankful to see everyone here. I'm thankful for Shane Dale, who's in the production booth, who makes us look and sound better. And as always, I'll be back again next week. Guys, thanks so much, and I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.